This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you for joining us. Night number 15 of this year's Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. And we're getting close to the halfway mark. And inshallah we talk more about making the most of Ramadan inshallah towards the end of the lecture this evening. To start off, we've got a few questions on Ramadan and fasting and fitrah and those kind of things. And we'll discuss those to begin with, inshallah. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires for all of us who are able to fast the days of Ramadan. And if we are temporarily sick, meaning, you know, I'm naturally, normally I can fast, but I'm sick, I have an infection, or you are traveling, and hopefully you'll get better afterwards, then you don't fast for that day, rather you make up. After Ramadan, you'll fast those days in, as we call it in Cape Town, it's skilt, it's days that you owe, and you will make those things up. Now, what about the lady who is pregnant, who is breastfeeding? We said for her, it's the same situation. So while she is pregnant, if she fears for herself or her baby, then she will not fast that day. And inshallah, when she is stronger after Ramadan or after birth, then she will make those days up. Similarly, the lady who is breastfeeding, she should look at whether she has the ability to fast, and if fasting would harm her or her baby, then for that day, she's exempted from fasting. Now, for the one who's unable to fast, he of course pays a fidya. He does not fast, he doesn't make the day up, he pays a fidya. And so, many times the ladies, the question we get is, can I not pay a fidya instead of making the day up? Why? Because if I'm pregnant, then the whole month I don't fast because I'm pregnant for the whole month. And then next year I'm breastfeeding, and then I'm pregnant again the following year. So I have like 4 or 5 years that I don't fast, and you know, 100, maybe you know, 200 days to pay in, subhanAllah. Can I not just pay a fidya and be done with it? And unfortunately, no, in your situation, you have to fast those days in. So Allah make it easy for you that you pass those days in. If you have cumulative days because of breastfeeding and because of pregnancy, and it goes beyond a year, so usually if your skilt or the days that you owe goes beyond one Ramadan, and then you should pay a fidya as a compensation, as well as fasting, meaning double, you fast and you pay fidya. But for the ladies who've got so much days owing and it's not her doing, then inshallah there's no fidya. But we'll talk more about fidya. It's not a great amount, and so it's obviously from yourself. In fact, let's talk about fidya now. So what is fidya? Fidya is the compensation that a permanently ill person, meaning someone that will never be able to fast, or an old person, of course, if they're too old to fast now, after Ramadan, they'll be even older, which means they'll never be able to fast Ramadan. So for every day that they miss, they need to feed a poor person a staple meal, one meal for that day that they've missed. And you should give not money, but you must give them a meal, actually. And so the staple meal in South Africa is rice, and therefore the equivalent of 1 kilogram is regarded as a meal. And so for every day that you miss, you pay a fidya of 10 rand. Now, as I said, you cannot give 10 rand to a poor person for every day that you've missed. You should either give a kilo rice or a meal. But if you give it to an organization, like Burhan al-Islam Soup Kitchen, for example, then we act as your agent, we accept your fidya in cash, and then we distribute it in food. And this is what happens. The recipient must receive food. And fidya, like zakah, like fitrah, is only meant for the Muslim community. Sadaqah and lillah, or any kind of charity, that is for all of humanity. And that is for, I mean, not even only the humanity, it's even for animals and the environment. Any form of sadaqah or lillah or fi sabilillah, all of this can be used for any means. But Zakatul Fitr and Fidya, these are sort of obligatory charities. This is for the benefit of the Muslim community first. If inshallah you get to a point, and may Allah grant it such, that there is no poor person that you can find that is a Muslim, then of course we move on to those that are outside of our community. Zakatul Fitr, or Fitra as it's called here in Cape Town, what is this? This is a obligatory form of charity. That's what's called zakah, which is compulsory per head. So unlike the normal zakah, zakah is usually calculated as a percentage of your wealth. Zakatul Fitr is a flat rate for every single person, for you and your dependents. So if you look at myself, and then who are the people that I support financially, so it could be your wife, your kids, your parents, your siblings, whoever you are responsible for, you need to pay Zakatul Fitr per member of your family. And Zakatul Fitr becomes payable. It's compulsory on every Muslim to pay it, who can afford. If you can afford it, if you can't, then you can receive Zakatul Fitr. So whoever can afford it, before Salatul Eid, on the day of Eid al-Fitr, your Zakatul Fitr must be distributed. And so again, like fidya, fitra is meant to be distributed in a form of staple food, and that's why, you know, we have fitra parcels. It should not be given out in cash We do not give fitr out in cash, rather it is given out in food substance. But again, if you deputize your organization, you give it to Sanzef or Burhanul Islam or IDP, whatever organization, wonderful organizations, they will distribute it on your behalf in the form of food substance. So how much is fitra? Fitra is 3 kilograms of rice, as is determined this year for 2020, which amounts to 40 rand per person. So you look at all the people in your house, times 40 rand, that amount, you can either go to the shop and buy a parcel of food and give it to deserving people, or you can just pay the cash into an organization and they will distribute it. And again, it is for the benefit of the Muslim community. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Very beautiful. As one scholar said, you know, as we fast, we make mistakes. We don't fast exactly as we should. Sometimes we wasted the time in Ramadan. Sometimes we made mistakes. Zakat al-Fitr Allah gives us at the end of Ramadan. For us, for those who are paying it, it is sort of like a smoothing over. You know, when you've painted over a house, you put that final finishing coat on, that final varnish on a piece of furniture, that touch up, that is what Zakat al-Fitr does. It takes away all that small imperfections and it makes your Ramadan look perfect. So that is what it does. Also, it is to say that on the day of Eid, no one should go hungry. There should be no Muslim on the day of Eid going hungry. That is not something that we want to know. And so this is why Zakat al-Fitr is there and is an obligation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everyone this year. Ameen. We move on, alhamdulillah, to our tafsir of Surah Yasin. We are now in the fourth section of the tafsir, and it is mentioning the events of the day of Qiyamah. Yesterday we spoke about the resurrection, how the people will be taken out of their graves and they will be ushered almost and pushed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said to them that this day no one will be wronged and everyone will get what they deserved. And so throughout the surah so far, if you look at all three sections, Allah mentioned two types of people. In section one, there were those who reject the verses and the ayat, and they are sort of boxed away and they cannot see the ayat, and so they continue on and they are heading towards destruction. Then there are those, Allah says, they are the ones who follow the reminder and they are fearful, they are conscious of Allah. When they are alone, they think about Allah and they try to do better. In the second section, we have the townspeople who reject the prophets and they actually are abusive and are arrogant. And then you have the friend, the comrade who is giving them, inviting them to believe in Allah, and he was killed. So again, you have the disbelievers and you have the believers here. And then in the last section, of course, it's very clearly to say those who disbelieve and don't want to feed the poor versus the believers who feed the poor. They take note of the mercies and the blessings of Allah. So Allah is going to show what is the natural conclusion of both these groups. There are only two paths that you can take. And there are only two camps in this life and in the year after. And every person, we need to consider, what do our deeds say about us? Which of these two camps do we fall into? And so Allah begins by speaking about the first group, and these are the group of believers. So Allah says, "A'udhu billahi shaitan rajim," in verse number 55, "Inna ashab al-jannati al-yawma yawma fi shughalin faqihun." Allah says, indeed the companions of Jannah, the garden, paradise, this day they will be in joyful occupation. They will be busy with joyful occupation. Now, what's interesting, the verse before it, verse 54, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also used the word yawm, day. So Allah said, falyawm, this day, none will be wronged and everyone will get what they deserve. And it's as if though Allah is addressing it to the disbelievers, to those who rejected his signs, meaning the account starts at the beginning of the day of judgment. And so we know that the day of judgment will be a long period. And so it's as if though they have a long process that will happen on the day of judgment, and it just gets more difficult and worse, culminating in Jahannam. As for the believers, the day begins, when Allah addresses them, this day they are already in Jannah, as if though they skipped Qiyamah altogether. Now, of course, no one is going to be able to skip Qiyamah, but what we do know of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, as for the believers, for the very good people, their Qiyamah will be a very short Qiyamah, as if though between Asr and Maghrib, whereas someone else's Qiyamah will basically be from sunrise to sunset. They will go through all the hardships of Qiyamah. Yes, some believers will, some good people will also experience the difficulties of Qiyamah. In fact, everybody will, even the prophets of Allah will experience some of its hardships, and that is just to remove any further mistakes that they've made, to purify them further and to avert them from Jahannam. It might be that their punishment is actually standing on Qiyamah, looking at the terrors of Qiyamah. That is their punishment, and so they averted Jahannam. But one of the rewards is that their Qiyamah is not only easier, it is even quicker. And this ayah hints to that Allah begins with them after Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu says that for the believers in Ashab al-Jannah, this day they are fi shughalin faakihun. So a number of words here, Ashab are companions like the Sahaba. They are a group, they are in a company. One of the joys of Jannah is that you will not be alone. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But you will go to Jannah as you help each other in this world. You will help each other in Qiyamah and you'll enter Jannah together. Then very beautifully, this is a unique way of saying it. Allah says fi shughalin faakihun. So now anyone that knows a little bit of Arabic, when they ask you, you know, what do you do? You say, my shughal, my work, my occupation. Shughal is not something nice. Shughal is something that is keeps you busy. It makes you tired. So Allah says, the people of Jannah this day, they will be in shughal. They'll be very busy. Faakihun, with that which makes them happy. So they are going to be busy with exciting activities. They will have non-stop activities of enjoyment. Sometimes people think of Jannah as, is it just relaxing and eating and reclining? And there's no fun in Jannah. In fact, Jannah will be so fun. Every moment there's some new activity to do, some new game to play, some new place to explore. One Sahabi, he said to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I hear about the fruits of Jannah, but I really enjoy farming. Will there be farming for me in Jannah? And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, for you, if that's what you want to do, there will be farming. Another brother, he asked me, and I mentioned this so many times, if you hear my lectures, you probably heard this, you know, so many times. He asked me, I love to hike, mountain climb, and as tiring as it is, I enjoy it, my muscles are aching and all of that. Well, I get to mountain climb in Jannah. Now for me, mountain climbing sounds like a punishment of Jahannam, that if I'm forced to climb mountains, for someone else it might be enjoyment. If that's what you want, inshallah, that is what you will have. In a way, you'll only get the best of the experience without anything that is negative. Like Allah speaks about that there is khamr, there is wine in Jannah, but you will only have the good side of it without any of its negative attributes. In fact, there is even shopping in Jannah, can you believe it? The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith, verily in Jannah, there is a market in which the inhabitants of Jannah will go to every Friday. There will be a north wind that will blow and scatter fragrances on their faces and on their clothes. So when this wind blows upon them and this fragrance touches them, it gives them like a makeover. They look even more beautiful. So that when they go back to their families, so now they went to the market, now they're coming home, and when their families see them, their families will say to them, wow, it's as if though your luster has been added to your beauty and you have become even more attractive. You look even more lovely. And then the one who went to the market will say, and also by Allah, I swear it's as if though you also have become more beautiful. Every time we look away from each other, Allah will increase them in beauty and attractiveness. This is how things are in Jannah. But the point is that there's even shopping in Jannah, new things you can go and explore and see. Some people, this is what they want to do. Whatever you think of your Jannah, and that is what it will be. In fact, as we know, Allah, the Prophet says, or in fact the Quran says, what no heart has ever, or imagination has ever, you know, thought up, conjured in your mind, Jannah will exceed all your expectations. So Allah says in Jannah they will be very, very busy with enjoyment and activities that will keep them busy with enjoyment. Hum wa azwajuhum fi dhilalin ala al-ara'iki muttaqi'un. Them, for the people of Jannah, and their wives, them and their families, their wives, their spouses, fi dhilal, in shades, ala al-ara'iki, reclining on couches and thrones. So muttaqi'un is relaxing. So in the first, the ayah before, you know, and you know, when people talk about holidays, and may Allah grant that, you know, we will enjoy this thing called holidays. Something holidays is something that is so far to our minds, we can't even remember holidays anymore. But for those of us who, you know, all of us who have experienced holidays, alhamdulillah, you know, you have two types of holidays. One where you do fun and exciting activities, and there's another type of holiday where you just lounge about and you relax and you enjoy, especially the outdoors. Maybe it is the beach, maybe it's you know, camping. So this is here, reclining fi dhilal, in the shade. So this is outside. So for another form of Jannah, another time they will spend, the people of Jannah will spend it, they will spend it with their loved ones, their spouses, their family members, their friends, and they'll be reclining, just relaxing, chilling in the shade, in the beautiful scenery of Jannah. We also see, as I say, muttaqi, if you in the position of a muttaqi, you are completely relaxed. You are at your, you know, at your most relaxed state. No fear, no worries. And that, I mean, just imagine that, no worries. For those of us who, you worry about bills, you worry about the coronavirus, you worry about, will I have a job, your kids, you will have absolutely no worries on your mind. That is what Jannah is. And then the ayah says, أزواجهم. You are not going to be alone. Nobody in Jannah is alone. The hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that, this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, there will be no one in Jannah except that he or she will be married. So if you are unmarried, Allah is going to partner you up with someone in Jannah that will be, you know, that will work with, is perfect for you. Even if you, you know, either from one of the believers, so one of the single men will marry one of the single women of Jannah, Allah is going to find your soulmate or even create for you a partner in Jannah. So you will also be with what is also wonderful, that we know you are not, as you're not alone in Jannah, not just your wives, you are with also your family members and your friends. And so as you're sitting here, imagine the outdoors, the singing of the birds of Jannah, whatever animals there are in Jannah, the streams are flowing, the wind is blowing, and in a very gently, of course, the perfect dhilal means the perfect temperature, the perfect weather. So you're on the outdoors, and those of us who are now stuck at home, just picturing this beautiful scenery, and we are talking to one another and laughing about the days of the dunya, how it was. SubhanAllah, I can imagine us sitting there saying, can you remember the coronavirus, Ya Allah? We were stuck in our homes, and look at us now here in Jannah. May Allah grant this to be for us, and that we will enjoy this together. One of the beautiful things that Allah tells us about Jannah is that you will be with the people that you love and the people that you spend time and you work together in the dunya. And so if you are in good companionship in the dunya, maybe you had a wife that was very pious, a husband that's very pious, or a family member that is very pious, you will get sort of an upgrade to go with them in their Jannah. So there are levels in Jannah, and the best will get the highest Jannah. But because no one wants to be alone, the person who has the higher Jannah, so for example, if you are in the first class in the plane, what you are, one of the things, the perks of being in that first class, you can say, Ya Allah, those who are in the economy class of Jannah, I miss them. Can they come with me here? And they will be upgraded as well. And so this reminds us to be in good company in the dunya, so that we can be in good company in the akhirah. Of the things of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he mentioned, the spouses, and of course we have to mention here the Huru'een, as we talk so many times, and especially the brothers, they talk about these beautiful maidens of Jannah, these women of Jannah that were created. And yes, indeed, they exist. Huru'een means those who have beautiful eyes. So Allah is speaking about the eyes. In Surah Waqi'ah, Allah says, indeed, we have produced these Huru'een of Jannah, a new type of creation. They are not like insan, they are something totally new, loving. Their nature is that they are loving, affectionate, in equal age to the people of Jannah. Also to point out, besides the Huru'een being beautiful, we will be in our prime, in our perfect form, and we'll be at the age of 33. As the hadith says, that we will be 33 years of old, and at our prime, in our peak, we will look amazing. And as we said, as time goes on, we get more and more beautiful. So then we have these Huru'een. They are, as Allah says, they are chaste, restraining their glances with wide, beautiful eyes, as if though they are, you know, the eggs, you know, very large, beautiful eyes. This is how Allah describes these women. And that, that her beauty is veiled, so that she has a nur that comes out of her, that Allah has covered her up with a veil, because had this veil been exposed, then her light is so much that it filled the entire heavens and the earth with this light, that her smell would fill the universe with its beautiful smell, that if she were to look down or she were to spit, then everything in the universe will be sweetened by her. This is how beautiful and pure she is. Now, many times we speak about these women and we think about, and of course, naturally our sisters feel, Ya Allah, what about, how do I compete with these women and I have husbands? Now, remember, sisters, that firstly, the Huru'een are promised to the men. There's nothing to say that there are no Huru'een of a similar kind for the ladies, especially if you're a single woman. And to that, of course, Allah is not going to explain men with these beautiful biceps and six-packs and whatever it might be, but whatever you want, you will have in Jannah. But also beyond the Huru'een of Jannah, something to remember. The Huru'een of Jannah are there for entertainment. They are there for, they are part of the help. They are the maid girls of the Jannah. The real VIPs are the sisters and the brothers who succeeded and went to Jannah. And therefore, no matter how beautiful the Huru'een are, remember, the husbands of them, the men of Jannah, the Jannatis, the people of the dunya that got there, men and women, are even more beautiful than them. So your wife will be even more beautiful than the Huru'een. Your husband will be even more beautiful than the most beautiful creature of Jannah. Why? Because all those things in Jannah, they did not earn Jannah. They are there just part, like if you think of a hotel resort, they are just there part of the entertainment for the guests. The real VIPs are the guests. And so therefore we believe that even even as beautiful as the Hur Ain, as beautiful as she is, oh sister that succeeds to getting to Jannah, oh brother that succeeds in getting there, your beauty, your light, your nur will be even better than that. And it will explain the relationship we have, that only one group of people, one creation, the person who succeeds will get a special kind of reward. We'll talk about that. So then Allah subhanahu says, so the people of Jannah, their families, their spouses, you know, your husband, your wife, that you work together in the dunya, you're sitting there together hand in hand in your most beautiful state under the trees of Jannah, enjoying the shade of Jannah, relaxing, reclining. And of course, there's nothing better than reclining and then being outdoors and also having snacks and having a picnic. So food must go with it. And as I record this, it's just a few moments before Maghrib. And so, you know, it's good to listen to these things while you are hungry. Allah says, لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. For them in Jannah are all fruits of all kinds, that there is whatever fruit that you can imagine and beyond, they will have it very close at hand. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. And for them is what they يَدَّعُونَ. So يَدَّعُونَ comes from dua. Dua means what you ask. But this is in the exaggerated form. يَدَّعُونَ means whatever they want to ask. Allah will say, whatever Allah says here, for them are fruits and whatsoever they wish to eat, they will have the in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for them, وَلَكُمْ and for them فِيهَا in it in Jannah مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ, that in Jannah it's whatever they ask for and even whatever they desire. So if it's just something that you want before you even asked for it, Allah, Jannah will give it to you. One brother, and I use this example so many times, and you've perhaps heard me give this example, what is amazing about Jannah, truly what makes Jannah special, is that Jannah is the most amazing, fantastic, wonderful place, but it increases every single moment in its goodness. So when you taste the first thing of Jannah, nothing that you have experienced will ever compare to that. That is going to be the most mind-blowing experience when you taste into that date or that fruit or you sip from its water. Then when you taste the second time, it will be even better than the first. And the third will be better than the second. And so for all eternity, you are getting more beautiful. The food tastes better. Your house gets more beautiful. The trees gets more beautiful. For all eternity, Allah is just increasing the beauty and the enjoyment of Jannah. Some things about Jannah, and this is the time to talk about it in the month of Ramadan, because this is what we are working for and striving for. Imagine, you know, this difficulty of life we're going to go through our lives. There will be sadness in it. There will be hardships in it. Then after all of this, we will die. Sometimes we die first, sometimes our friends, our loved ones die before us. We will spend time in the qabr, may Allah make it easy. At the very best, it will be a relaxation. Maybe it's a difficult time of paying, settling of accounts. Then there's the resurrection and the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah, answering for our mistakes. Now you cross over this bridge over Jahannam, not knowing when I fall inside. But if you are lucky, you cross over this bridge of Jahannam, you will cross over in a group of people. And now that you've crossed over, you feel, maybe I'm safe. Now you begin to feel, maybe things are going a bit better for me. And now you walk, and Allah alam how long you're going to walk. And then you start smelling the fragrances of Jannah. There are 8 gates of Jannah. Its gates will be opened and you will experience the smell of Jannah. And now as you get closer, when you enter it, as you know, as you step in for that first step, that moment, as you cross the threshold of Jannah, you know that you will never leave it. That all your worries are left behind. That all the hardships are left behind. That even worshipping and making salah, all of that is over. No work, nothing. And you enter and you get congratulated. This entourage of the most beautiful angels shaking your hand, congratulating you. You've made it. You are inside. You will have, I mean, Jannah, as we said, is so big, you have all of eternity, and you will not be able to explore all of it. It's immense in size. You know, the shade that one tree gives you, you'll travel 100 years, and you will not cross beyond that tree. In a hadith in Ibn Majah, when the Prophet describes Jannah, he said, it is a place of sparkling light, filled with plants that smell beautiful, palaces that look, you know, huge palaces, rivers that are flowing, fruits that are ripe and close at hand, and wives that are beautiful with clothing that is abundant. It is an eternal place of radiant joy and beautiful places that we live in. So for different people, as we said, maybe it's the houses of Jannah, maybe it's the Hur Ain of Jannah, maybe it's the food of Jannah. But I always say that for me, you know, the two things that really stand out, the one we'll get to in a minute, the height of Jannah, the best thing of Jannah. But for me, what really I enjoy, and you've heard this perhaps many times from me, the thing that really gets to me is that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, sleep is the brother of death and nobody dies in Jannah, meaning nobody sleeps in Jannah. So even though you have infinite amount of time, you don't have time to waste to sleep. Jannah is so fun that even sleep is a waste of time. There is so many things to do and enjoy for all of eternity that you won't even sleep not to miss out. And then, you know, when we imagine ourselves, so the ayah says, لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِتًا وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. So they are, Allah says that they are, هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ذِلَالٍ, that they are sitting there, relaxing, reclining, they are talking, they are eating, whatever they want, they are listening to the sounds of the people of Jannah, talking, the sounds of the animals and the songs of the Hur'een and the angels passing by greeting them. This is how they spend their times in Jannah. Then of course, while all this is happening and they're listening to these sounds, it's as if the chatter of Jannah is broken by a greater sound. And that is why in the, just after Allah mentions them, so again, you put to yourself having people having this picnic, laughing and eating and, you know, cracking jokes. And then all of a sudden you hear salam. Someone is saying, salam, peace be upon you. Qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. A word from the Lord, most merciful. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greeting the people of Jannah. Allah Himself greeting every individual of the people of Jannah. And this, of course, there is no greater honor than the Lord of the worlds speaking to each and every one of us individually. And we know that the highest reward of Jannah is that of Jannatul Firdaus. And there is a special place in Jannatul Firdaus that on Fridays, every Friday, like today is Friday, there is a Jumu'ah where all the people of Jannah, no matter where you are, even if you are in the lowest level of Jannah, you will get access to Jannatul Firdaus, and that is when we will sit in this open area, looking up at the highest pinnacle of Jannah. Above it is the throne of Allah, and we will look up every Friday towards the heaven of Jannah, and then Allah Himself will come down, and He will speak to us, you know, telling us how pleased He is, how pleased Allah is with the people of Jannah, how His pleasure is upon them, how they will receive only enjoyment, and then He will give them, of course, give us, and we pray that we will receive this, that greatest of reward, which is to the barrier, the distance between us and Allah is removed. There will be nothing between us and Him, and we will get to see Him and gaze upon Allah ourselves with our eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. That is the great reward. And for Allah to speak to you, to speak to me and say, salam, peace be upon you, meaning you have succeeded, you only have enjoyment. This is a word from Qawlam, a word min Rabbir Rahim, from the Lord of all creation, the most merciful. This is to all of us and to all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be there, to attain it, to have it. This is the best of all that Allah can give. There is nothing greater than that. And as we said, we are now in the month of Ramadan. There is no better time to attain it. We have 15 days to go. Only 15 days. And this is what is up for grabs. In these days, all we need to do is fast sincerely, pray sincerely, make dua, be sincere. And this is what we can get. This Jannah and this closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only 15 days between us and this and that reward. So may Allah grant us all the strength and the ability to make the best of what remains of Jannah. May Allah grant us success. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.